Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you'll hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Please check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Within this episode, we're going to spend some time with corporate organization and process consultant Kevin Hall, finding out how he helps complex companies become faster and more competitive. Before we talk to Kevin, we'd like to invite you to provide feedback on this podcast by either emailing us at podcast@amanet.org or calling us at 800-697-3406. Your email or phone message might be heard on a future episode. In his new book, Speed Lead, Kevin evangelizes about faster, simpler ways to manage people, projects, and teams in complex companies. Kevin, welcome. You've discovered that talented people spend over 80% of their time on cooperation, communication, and control, and yet 50% of that time is wasted. How is that time wasted, and what can we do about it?
Well, let's start with cooperation. We've worked with about 200 companies in 40 countries around the world, and we trained about 40,000 people. And what we found is that there's just too much cooperation going on, which might sound crazy. We spend so much money trying to get people to cooperate, but it's inappropriate cooperation. You know, teams has become a religion. Teamwork in particular has become a religion. We have team training. We're appraised against this. It's one of our corporate values. And so we grew up in an environment, and I grew up in an environment, where teamwork was the answer, whatever the problem. The problem is, as organizations have become larger and more complex, we're now in multiple locations, multiple time zones. We're doing things through technology. We have highly diverse workforces. Teams have become a very expensive and difficult way of getting things done. So there are times when teams are absolutely critical, but it's not very often in large, complex companies. The vast majority of work is done by people working individually. But because we've been brought up in this culture of teamwork, we try to manage that work in a collective way. An example of that would be conference calls. Have you ever been to those conference calls where you sit doing activity reviews, and each of you is reporting to your boss on what you've been doing for the last week? And while you're doing that, you're interested. And the boss is interested, but all of the other people on the call are listening, thinking, how can I use this information? It's irrelevant to me. And that's a classic example of trying to manage individual work in a collective context. And it drives all kinds of behaviors, particularly meetings. And what our participants are telling us is that they spend 40% of their time in meetings, and only 40% of the time do they think they should be there. That means that about 20% of all management headcount right now is sitting in meetings they don't need to be in. And they hate it. No one needs it. Business doesn't like it. The participants don't like it. And as far as we can tell, just stopping doing it has no downside.
What about communication? What's the problem there?
Again, it's this pattern of connection that we create. When we think we need to cooperate, therefore we need to communicate. So now we're a team. I need to let you know what I'm doing. I need to let you know for a load of reasons. The least of those is to help you do your job better. Yeah, so I'm communicating with you because I think you might be interested. I'm communicating with you because I think I ought to be visible to you or what's going on. And again, we're running a survey on our website, speedleading.com. And what people are telling us is they get an average of 57 emails a day, and only 40% of those are relevant to doing the job. So if you look at a typical, you know, large Fortune 200, Fortune 300 company, they're probably generating 250 million unnecessary emails every year. So someone's writing them, someone's sending them, someone's opening them, someone's deleting them, someone's filing them, but they have no value. And that's just one of the communication media. If you look at telephone calls, if you look at conference calls, webinars, all those things, all are increasing. And what the industry is telling us is that over the next 5 to 10 years, the volume of minutes through these media is going to increase by 4 times. So if we don't take control of it now, good luck.
What are we doing as far as control is concerned?
Well, again, in these large complex companies, there are really powerful underlying themes that can make managers feel out of control. You know, now I began my career in a single site operation where I knew the people, they were from the same culture as me, I could shake their hands, I could see the product. Now my colleagues are spread around the world, they're very diverse, they're in different time zones, they have different priorities, they operate in a matrix structure, so they have multiple bosses who are changing those priorities every day. And then I need their cooperation. And they don't respond the way I expect. Now, that could be due to time zones or language or priorities or anything, but it just undermines my trust. And therefore, in the absence of trust, what managers start to do is increase control. So what we're seeing in these large, complex companies is a consistent pull towards central control. And central control has some problems in a large company, particularly global companies. The first is that in order to control something centrally, you need to understand it centrally. And unfortunately, there isn't anyone smart enough to know all of the local cultural issues, all of the local operational issues. We just can't be smart enough. So even if we have a huge central staff, first of all, we may make worse decisions. And secondly, we'll certainly make slower decisions. Because if we have to escalate, it introduces delay. And sometimes fast is better than slow.
All right. Now, aside from cooperation, communication, and control, your research actually covered a fourth topic, and that was community. What do you mean by community, and how does that waste our time?
Well, what we found is that some of the community things underpin these. If you like, the first three are symptoms. The first three are symptoms of trying to get people to work together in a kind of an outmoded way. So what we realized is that the traditional management skills that said you must try and work in teams all the time, you must have team meetings, you must communicate, they were actually starting to slow organizations down. So what we had to do is to find a simpler way of doing things. And what we realized that a lot of the underlying reasons for this was a lack of trust, was a lack of understanding of our colleagues. And community, if you think about it, used to be a free byproduct of proximity. We're all in the same office, so we go out in the evening together, we socialize, we get to know each other's family, and we build a community. And the values came for free because it tended to be all in one culture. But now we're trying to build a community where I may never meet you. I may never meet you face to face. You know, we have 100,000 years of experience as a species of reacting to strangers by throwing sticks at them. And now all of a sudden, just because you have a similar email address to me, I'm expected to cooperate with you. Now, it does work, which is an incredible thing. But we shouldn't underestimate how difficult that is. And then we've added on top of this organizational structures like a matrix. I mean, a matrix is designed to divide loyalties. It's designed to pull your sense of community in different directions. So understandably, we have some challenges there. And we have to build community at the right level. It's not a free byproduct anymore.
Mario Andretti, who is one of the world's greatest auto racers, once said, "If everything seems under control, you aren't going fast enough." How does that quote apply to your own research?
Well, I like the motor racing quotes because one of my hobbies is rally driving. And I've been coached by some real top rally drivers. And what's always impressed me is their attitude to speed. They're obsessed with speed. So I worked with a guy called Pentti Arikola, and he kept coaching me to try and change gear 1/100th of a second quicker, 1/100th of a second. And when I protested, you know, how can I do it any faster? He said, come on, there are 700 corners in this race. 1/100th of a second means 7 seconds across the race. And that's the difference between first and third. Now, if I contrast that with an auto company I worked with in Europe, we're running some training with them. The guys were late back after every break. They were late doing all the exercises on the training. They found it difficult to get there on time in the morning. And when we asked them what were the real challenges in their business, they said, time to market. Well, frankly, if you can't make it back from lunch on time, you can't launch a car on time.
Could you leave us with a few rules of thumb to speed up operations?
I think the first one is really to think about this issue of cooperation. So don't act like a team when you don't need to be one. Individual work and group work is a much more effective way of getting things done. Secondly, really focus on where does it add value to have a meeting? And frankly, I don't want to be invited to meetings where I sit and consume passive information you could have emailed me. And so if you can cut down your meetings by half, you'll probably have better meetings. Thirdly, is really think about communication. You know, we seem to have lost some of the basic communication skills in this era of reply to all. You know, think about who you're communicating to and what you want to achieve. Fourthly, I'm really concerned about this issue of 24/7 availability for managers. Very often that's a management failure. If you need to be available 24 hours a day, then either you're a control freak who needs to be involved in everything, or perhaps you work for a control freak who needs to be involved in anything. Either way, it's not a sustainable pattern of work, and you probably aren't empowering your people and building a sustainable way of working. So that would be the fourth one. Fifth, we've given lip service to empowerment for many years, but the reality is that we still recognize and celebrate leaders who do everything for their people. And if I look at leadership criteria, I see lists that look like, I don't know, the leader of a major world religion. Yeah. They should set the vision, they should communicate, they should clear the barriers, they should celebrate your diversity, they should do all these things for you. And my question is, if your boss does all of those things for you, what's left for you to do? Why would we employ smart people to just do everything I say? So we should manage less and let people take a lot more responsibility for their own actions. Then I'd say this focus on rules in large organizations. It's very easy to fall into managing by rules, but rules take away responsibility. An example I often use is airport hotels. You know, the expenses bill is too high, and somebody says, you know, airport hotels are $50 more expensive than city hotels, so we're now going to stay at, this is the new standard, you must stay at this level of hotel. So all the guys who used to stay at very cheap hotels and were quite happy, they now trade up to the standard. You know, the guys who used to stay at the airport hotels now take a $100 taxi ride to go to the $50 cheaper thing, and everyone's following the rules. We're no longer thinking. So an attitude of responsibility, not rules. And finally, really think about human beings working in your organization. In these very large companies, we've lost the human scale. And we tried to pull that together with things like corporate values. And frankly, I only work for you. You don't control my values. Values are set when you're 7 or 8 years old. They're very resistant to change. So please leave my values alone. But if you're paying my salary, you can reasonably expect that I'll adopt some common practices to get things done. So let's forget about values and talk about working practices. I think this is also much more inclusive as well, because I don't have to stop being of a particular religion or value set or faith or whatever it may be, but I can see that these ways of working together work, and that's not about me personally, it's about effectiveness. So I think if we can separate values from practices, that'd be healthy.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. Yes, now it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website at www.amanet.org. Take it away, Kevin.
Hi, this is Kevin Lee, and I'm in one of the AMA classrooms today asking our participants what they think about teamwork. Is there too much of it? Not enough? And how to make it work? If you had to choose between better teamwork or more independence to do your job, which would you choose?
I would choose better teamwork. Currently, I have good independence in my job. Now that I have that, since our company has dispersed sites, Pennsylvania and New Jersey, I'd like to find out what's working at these dispersed sites and incorporate them into the site that I'm currently in instead of reinventing what's already out there. So that's why I would prefer more teamwork.
In your current office, your current job, you feel like there could be more teamwork to get better results?
Not within the office, no. I mean, in the organization as a whole, yes, but I think our office works very well as a team. So, and actually so much so that we've been very successful.
What do you see as needing to happen to kind of expand that teamwork across the organization?
I guess maybe some better communication between our offices and the corporate office. There's been some issues in the past where the corporate staff have felt that our feedback was very derogatory and that it was, I guess, construed as complaints rather than as actual constructive feedback.
Do you feel like there's ever a time where there's too much teamwork in your office and it's keeping things from getting done?
Never. Absolutely never. I'm a project manager, so teamwork is the thing that I promote in our company. Working with a bunch of engineers, they tend to go off on their own, so they get very closed-minded and can't see what everybody else is working on, so I try to bring them in as a team to get them to talk to each other.
And what sort of techniques do you use?
I've learned a few techniques here. There was a suggestion of putting the 2 cents of the penny, giving everybody a bunch of pennies so that everybody in the room can talk. And I absolutely love that one, and I'm going to bring that one back to my office.
Is there ever an instance where you feel like less teamwork is more productive?
In meetings. I think when we have meetings that drag for 2 hours, 3 hours, and at the end of the meeting you come out and say, okay, what really got accomplished? I think that's where we need to focus on staying on topic. I received a good tip today. having no chairs in the room, a standing meeting. So this way, the meeting would stay short.
Just remember, we really need your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That number again is 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.